So the Babylon Bee asked Elon Musk if he would make Jesus the Lord and Savior of his life. And this is what he said.
Closer right. time out here.
Yeah, I mean, we're here. We're, you know, the Babylon Bee is a Christian organization, you know, and we're a ministry.
Well, how come we're doing the show on a Sunday? Why aren't you heathens in church?
Exactly. So we have to make a church right now.
This is supposed to be a day of rest.
We did Zoom church.
To justify.
Do you have an idea? Like, God said, don't work on Sundays. Okay. Guys are going straight to hell for this one.
Get into the whole Jesus rest thing. Okay.
Straight to hell.
This is church. So to make this church, we have to make sure. We're wondering if you could do us a quick solid and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
On the show.
Personal Lord and Savior. You know, it's a quick prayer.
I mean, let's just say, like, I agree with the principles that Jesus advocated, there's great wisdom in the teachings of Jesus, and I agree with those teachings. And things like turn the other cheek are very important, because as opposed to an eye for an eye, an eye for an eye leaves everyone blind. So, forgiveness, you know, is important, and treating people as you would wish to be treated. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Very important.
So it's like a 60-70% yes?
As Einstein would say, I believe in the God of Spinoza. But hey, if Jesus is saving people, I mean, I wouldn't stand in his way, you know, like, I'll be sure. I'll be saved, why not?
Sweet, we did it.
Yeah.
I think he just said yes.
We got him. All right, we got him.
We got him. What a pick to be saved.
Sounds good.
You want to get baptized or anything?
I was baptized.
Oh, okay.
Anglican.
You know. Yeah, he's done.
They dunked me in the water when I was just a baby.
Cool.
This is like...
Second?
Yeah. I even had, like, you know, whatever, blood and body of Christ, which was kind of weird, you know, if you're a kid, like, you get to give you some weird tasting, you know, biscuit and wine.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell is this? And I'm like, isn't this kind of
just cut it off
weird...
when he said yes.
I'm like, isn't this some, like, fading weird metaphor for cannibalism or something? I don't get it. Like, what the hell? I remember thinking that was just crazy when I was a kid. And I'm like, whoa, you know? I mean, even as a metaphor, it's kind of odd, you know?
Yeah, it is.
It's like, and should I be giving alcohol to minors? I was like...
We do grape juice. We're Baptists.
Okay.
I think it's unusual to even be thinking about that as a kid. Like, as a kid, you just go through the motions. And then it's later on that you think, wait a minute, what does this actually represent? What am I doing?
No, when I was a kid, I was like, is this actually blood and body? What? Yeah. You know, I don't know if I want to eat somebody. And then it's like, what? Is this? And I ended up, did it anyway. I'm like, this seems like, okay, man, I don't know if this is just pretty odd, you know? I remember thinking that even at age 5. So I was like, you know. And I know I was definitely like, you know, at Sunday school there, like, when they were telling me all the stories, and I was like asking questions and like, and they really were upset that I was asking questions. And I was like, you know, Jesus like fed the crowd with like 5 loaves of bread and 3 fish. And I'm like, how big was the crowd? And like, where did the fish and bread come from? Did like, from his cloak or something? Like, because I was like reading books and I was like, is this like, did it materialize? Did it come out, I don't know, where did it come from, you know? Like, how did it, would you like take a bite of the bread and would just, the bread would just come back to being a full bread.
Yeah, you look away and it's kind of pops back out. Rubbermaid.
They left out the details.
Where did the universe come from?
I'm not saying I know all the answers here. I'm just, you know, it's just and like Jesus was obviously very pro alcohol, you know, because one of his miracles was turning water into wine.
Yeah.
And then that was like they were having a party. they ran out of wine. Okay. And they're like, let's keep this bender going.
Good stuff.
Who can solve this problem?
We're out of White Claws.
The friggin' store's closed. And Jesus is like, I gotcha. Okay. Water, now wine. And they're like, party on.
Accurate.
Pro partying with alcohol is literally one of the miracles.
Bible story time with Elon Musk.
You're the savior. You kept the party going with lots of wine. That's great.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you coming here and talking to us very much.
Very well.
Okay, I decided instead of interspersing my commentary with it, as is my usual practice, to sort of let it play, but let's go back.
Organization?
Yeah. Of course, the music, very Baptist of them, the music in the background, you're going to have your moment of decision, you're ending your service, as it were, because they are meeting on Sunday. And, you know, part of it, of course, they're a satirical site. They're having fun with it. They're lighthearted. But let's listen to a little bit more.
You know, and we're a ministry.
Well, how come we're doing the show on a Sunday?
That is not an incidental thing. The world looks to us, Christians, who identify as Christians, who are part of the church, and asks us, how seriously do you take this stuff? And so that little comment is lighthearted, and they're going to laugh, and the music's playing, etc., etc. But this is a bigger deal than we're sort of letting on with the lighthearted banter.
Why aren't you heathens in church?
You know, again, it's a joke. We get that, and they're laughing, et cetera, but point made. And as this goes on, because I just played it, so, you know, you listen to it, he was baptized. He had First Communion. He's not uninitiated in what's going on here. And now South Africa, I don't know too many people from South Africa. I haven't had a lot of randos from South Africa. The one who's most on my mind is Strawn. I mean, you come up most, and I know you're watching this. And I learned a fair amount about Elon Musk. But again, I watched some of the interview and I gave up and I never made it to the end. And Sam said, watch it to the end because this is what he asked him. And it's sort of lighthearted, but is it? And, you know, I can be trollish. I can be lighthearted. I can make light of things. I can joke about things, but sometimes there's this word that I grew up with in the Christian Reformed Church. And I know I won't pronounce it correctly because I don't really speak Dutch. Or I don't know if it's Dutch or Frisian even. And I'm sure it'll come out in the comment section because you Hollanders will know. We do have some Frisians that watch because I interviewed some. But Spotten. And it basically means making light of holy things. And again, there's a range of what we can play with things. And I think I enjoy the Babylon Bee, the sense of humor. I retweet their stuff sometimes. It's something I really do. It's something I really do enjoy. But
exactly. So we have to make it church right now.
This is supposed to be a day of rest.
We did Zoom church.
To justify it.
Now again, South Africa, so you've got Anglicans and you've got Dutch Calvinists in South Africa. Those are the two, I would assume, historically dominant Christian traditions, because of course it's the English and then the Afrikaners, the Dutch. And so, you know, part of the Dutch was a Sabbatarianism, and I don't know about the Anglican side, but here you are, we're doing this interview on Sunday. You know, I understand you're a Christian satirical site, and very interestingly, I don't know if, as I've mentioned before, I caught on Twitter when Jordan Peterson in public asked Elon Musk, want to talk, and conversation didn't go any further. Maybe they didn't talk, maybe they didn't talk, maybe it was a heat check. We'll see, but he had an interview with the Babylon Bee, which is a fascinating thing. And, you know, he shares in the interview some of his ideas about government and, you know, all these kinds of things. And of course, Babylon, they talk about Babylon Bee's reputation as, you know, far right or something like this. But I love satire as much as the next guy.
Yeah, like God said, don't work on Sundays. Okay. Guys are going straight down for this one.
Get into the whole Jesus.
And is talking. I mean, every now and then he says something. It's like, is there any pause between your worlds? But he basically said, you guys are going straight to hell for this one. And, you know, he's joking with them. And I get all that. But again, part of what I learned from, let's say, the Rod Dreher story, and what I have learned again and again in watching the Jordan Peterson phenomenon is a critical element of evangelism in the world is, the world wants to know of the church, how seriously do you take this? And when they ask how seriously, they don't mean how self-righteous are you? Because there's a way to that seriousness and self-righteousness come together. And if your seriousness and your self-righteousness is the same thing, you will have no credibility. But people will take weird. So again, the Tom Holland quote, I should just play it.
Reminding people that the core beliefs that are fundamental to how people morally define themselves is rooted in faith reopens the possibility for secularists to recognize that they are not somehow, they have not kind of emancipated themselves from the need for faith. They continue to illustrate it. And I think that kind of contemplating that then reopens the possibility to think, well, where might this practice of believing in fantastical things lead? But I think one of the things that the churches need to do is to kind of absolutely embrace this rather than being slightly embarrassed about it and only talking about the kind of things that you'd hear on a Liberal Democrat Party political broadcast, which is a kind of, you know, thought for the day thing. I mean, I think that thought for the day and, you know, the kind of religious studies GCSE where you compare what Buddhists and Muslims think about smoking, that kind of stuff, I think it's absolutely destructive because it just kind of makes everything a mush. I think that the churches have to lay claim to everything that is kind of most, that is weirdest, most countercultural, most peculiar. You know, don't kind of duck all the stuff about angels and things. I mean, major on that because.
And I think this is part of the, again, the harvest will teach you how to harvest. And what Tom Holland is saying there, I think, is germane to what's happening in this conversation, in that, do you believe your own stuff? There was, I remember the Muslim woman who got into all kinds of trouble talking about Islam, Ali, the one with Jordan Peterson. This is the quote that I remembered.
And that deterioration is linked to poor immigration policy or to what exactly is the problem? Is the problem the immigration policy? Is that, because I might also say I mentioned youth and masculinity as contributing factors to violent behavior.
Yeah.
But unemployment as well is going to be a contributing factor. That's
all true. So all the socioeconomic factors, these are all contributing factors. And people actually are, I would say, more willing to talk. They feel like they're more licensed to talk about the socioeconomic factors than they are licensed to talk about the cultural factors. So if you have men and families, men and women, come from countries where men and women relate to one another differently in the public space and in the private space, and then they come to liberal societies and the values are different, then yes, all the very complex socioeconomic aspects are there. But the question is, are those the defining ones, or is it the cultural aspects? And then my conclusion is, it is poor integration policies. In other words, poor assimilation policies. And it's very difficult to culturally assimilate minorities if the receiving societies are not confident in their own values. And so the process of assimilation and developing successful assimilation that is socializing these young men into the value and women into the values of the host society, this is all compromised by that moral relativist attitude where we were saying you can integrate, and we will only talk about the social economic aspects. When it comes to the values, you can keep, we're not going to question those. And so there was not, at any time there was a proposition to, yes, impose the values of liberal societies on the incoming minorities, there would be an opposition to that. There still is an opposition to that from within, saying to do that is to recolonize them. It's ethnocentric, mm-hmm. It's Eurocentric, mm-hmm. It's arrogant, it's racist, it is xenophobic, it's an excuse to keep people out. And so the integration process has been frustrated on the one hand from the establishment that is relativist, on the other hand by the populist and extreme right-wing parties that are saying we don't want anybody assimilating, we don't want them, deport them. And then you have this other third force, which is the Islamists, the radical Muslims, who are preaching in the mosques to Muslim minorities and telling them, do not adopt the values of the infidels, of the host societies, because they're un-Islamic. And so if you ask me, the greatest failure is, it's the failure of the assimilation process, of the integration process.
And I found this fascinating because it was hosted as the confidence of in this case, the Europeans, to assert their cultural values. Well, I don't want to nuance that, because the cultural value they are really asserting is the sort of a libertarian relativism. Okay. And I think in this little section, part of what I picked up, and I don't want to press this too hard, this is lighthearted, it's comedy, I get that. But, okay, to take Jesus as your Lord and Savior, is that a lighthearted thing? We're sort of treating it lighthearted thing. I understand that. I understand not pushing too hard. I get all of that. But there is, in another sense, a signaling that, no, Elon Musk is high status. Elon Musk is obviously someone that they admire, you know, back to Jordan Peterson's, you know, admiration theme lately that he's been working on. He's high status. He's wealthy. They got a chance to interview him. They're gonna kiss up to him, yada, yada, yada. But when it comes to what ostensibly is sacred to them, I think this is part of the reason, not all the reason, because there's lots of factors involved here, but a loss of confidence in how serious are you about having a risen person being Lord and Savior?
This is true. This is true. To make this church, we.
And I think there's a pre-deconstruction that goes on in this, in that, and I'm not saying that anyone around this room doesn't take their faith seriously or doesn't believe, but I think in some ways this signals what I keep forgetting her name, Ayaan Hirsi Ali. That's it. Ayaan Hirsi Ali. There's a signaling of a lack of confidence. I don't know that Orthodox priests would be joking like this. And I think it's some of that weirdness. And I think Tom Holland is correct in that you can be odd. You can be strange. I might dismiss your Sabbatarianism. I might dismiss your altar calls. I might, you know, I might dismiss all of these things as manipulative or archaic or provincial, all sorts of things. But if you signal to me, you don't take any of this seriously, why should I? And I hear that beneath what Tom Holland is saying. I hear that beneath, in a cultural frame, what Ayaan Hirsi Ali is saying. And I think I get this sense from Elon Musk, too. We're here on Sunday. I thought you guys were Christians. And why aren't we in church? Oh, Zoom church. And hey, you know, I get all that. I love to joke. If you've watched my channel long enough, I've probably said jokes I shouldn't have said. I've probably been guilty of sputting from time to time. But, you know, Sam said, watch this, and I watched it. And these are my impressions.
We have to make sure. We're wondering if you could do us a quick solid and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
On the show.
Personal Lord and Savior. It's a quick prayer.
You know, I almost get the sense they've taken what is sacred, and he's a little surprised because he understands that this is sacred stuff. He gets that. And so now he opens up a little bit, which is very interesting.
I mean, let's just say, like, I agree with the principles that Jesus advocated. And
now we get a sense of his takeaways from his experience with the church. What are his summaries?
There's great wisdom in the teachings of Jesus, and I agree with those teachings.
So there's a residue there, and he has left with something that is sacred.
And things like turn the other cheek are very important, because as opposed to an eye for an eye, an eye for an eye leaves everyone blind. So
it's a Gandhi quote.
Forgiveness.
Gandhi, who of course spent some time in South Africa before returning to India.
An eye for an eye leaves everyone blind. So forgiveness, you know, is important, and treating people as you would wish to be treated. Love thy neighbor as thyself.
This is a pretty stock list of the values beneath Western civilization that are Christian, but forgotten that they are Christian, and that our culture holds sacred. So he is listing that which is sacred, that he embraces, and he sees that with commonality with the church.
Very important.
So it's like a 60-70%. Yes.
As Einstein would say, I believe in the God of Spinoza.
I've started, so John Vervaeke, of course, continues to recommend Carlyle's book on Spinoza's religion, and I've read the introduction. I'm starting to read the first chapter. I'm still on the Kindle version. I haven't committed to buying it because I'm really trying not to impulse buy so many books, especially John Vervaeke's been a big I've got some Vervaeke books that I haven't fully digested yet. So, but this is kind of a holy moment here, and you know, so I'm really glad that Sam pointed this out to me, because Musk is taking this question seriously, and I think in some ways more seriously than those around him. And I don't know. Does he have some dissonance because of this intersection? I'll be very interested to read your comments on this video.
But hey, if you know, if Jesus is saving people, I mean, I wouldn't stand in his way. You know, like, I'll be sure, I'll be saved. Why not?
Sweet, we did it.
And again, he tends to mumble, and sure, I'll be saved. And but, you know, obviously, he's had some thoughts about it. there's some sacred haunting still in him. And I don't know. Elon hasn't, I haven't asked Elon, maybe I should on Twitter, just like Jordan. I don't know that an at mention will get through to Elon Musk from his Twitter account. That's another issue. But I'd love to have a conversation with Elon Musk about these things. And gosh, Babylon Bee, maybe if he had been a little less lighthearted, I would have found, I mean, Lex Fridman and Joe Rogan, I mean, they can explore all kinds of things with Elon Musk. And I understand you're a satire site, et cetera, but most of the interview was serious. You had an opportunity to act, and I'm not discounting the faith of any of these Christians around that table there. That's not my point. But you might have had a, probably, at least to me, what would have been the most interesting interview with Elon Musk. You have the potential there because you don't do satire without a keen understanding of the ironies and the angularities within the conversation. In my opinion, people who do comedy well, and comedy is hard and it's hard to do well, and these guys do it really well, you don't do that with only a surface grasp of the faith. And I wonder if they had not sort of debased a certain amount of the sacred, if they couldn't have had just, you know, okay, so you got 1.5 million hits on this, whatever. You're going to have a lot with Elon Musk. But you could have had an astounding moment with this man. And yeah, I get letters from people that when I talk, you know, I do the conversations I have. Well, what if they die tomorrow? And I'm not making that point. I'm just saying, and that this is a lesson to myself too. We should remember that the world is looking to Christians to get a sense of just how serious we are about what we say we believe. Because in many respects, that's a tell of faith.
Yeah. I think he just said yes.
We got him. All right. We got him.
We got him. What a pick to be saved. Sounds good.
Do you want to get baptized or anything?
I was baptized.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was baptized.
Anglican. You know.
Yeah, he's done.
So I had a conversation with someone today, which I think will come out on the channel, and he mentioned the end of Pilgrim's Progress. So I thought I haven't read Pilgrim's Progress in years and years and years, so I should do it. And I had to walk down to a place that was fixing my daughter's car because she's at work. So I took her car and I was getting it fixed, and I had to, you know, walk a couple of miles to this place to get it. And so I had Pilgrim's Regress, C.S. Lewis's Pilgrim's Regress audiobook in my ears, and I started it. And of course, there's the landowner and there's the steward at the beginning of the book, and the steward, you know, wears this mask, and it's this religious mask, and every now and then he'll take it off, and he'll when he presents the little boy with a list of rules that if the little boy doesn't apply, you know, the little boy will be thrown to a pit with scorpions and snakes forever. And here's the list of rules, and if you violated any of these rules, you're going to be thrown into that pit. And the boy looks at it, it's like, oh, I've already done some. And then the steward, who is, of course, the preacher, the person of the church, says, have you broken any of these rules? And then he slips off the mask and says, you'd better lie. And then the boy says, no, I haven't. He says, oh, very good. Well, you'd better not break those rules. And just the first couple of chapters of that, I thought, wow, Lewis was very much giving us the sense of what a very smart little boy recognized in growing up into the church. And so here's Musk. Hey, I was baptized. I'm not, you know, yeah, I know you guys are doing satire and we're joking, ha 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 ha. But yeah, I know stuff about cars and space and all those things, but I know something about this too. And some of this is still deep inside of me. And maybe it's something that I don't touch, or I don't touch in public, or I don't really spend much time thinking about, at least not that I would say. It's very private. But I was baptized.
They dunked me in the water when I was just a baby.
Cool.
This is like
second.
Yeah. I even had like, you know, whatever blood and body of Christ, which is kind of weird, you know, if you're a kid, like you get to give you some.
And now some honest ruminations and some honest processing.
Weird tasting, you know, biscuit and wine.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell is this?
And you know, this in some ways reminds me of Tom Holland's stories about his own upbringing in the Anglican Church. I'm not pointing fingers at Anglicans, don't get me wrong. It's sort of Baptist, Christian Reformed, Catholics, Orthodox, you know, all along the way. And that was so lovely about Lewis's first chapters in Pilgrim's Regress is Lewis just really beautifully sort of laid out what it's like as a child to bump into these things.
And I'm like, isn't this kind of
just cut it off
weird?
When he said yes?
Again, I mean, he's poking fun at evangelicalism, which, hey, you're evangelicals. There's plenty of you and I to poke fun of us, and it's lighthearted. I get that, but it's probably leaves Musk wondering, what is it you guys do believe? And I'm not saying they don't believe anything. I'm not saying their faith isn't authentic. I'm not saying they're serious Christians or knowledgeable Christians. But, you know, I was a little hard on the Roman, according to some, not hard enough, on the Roman Catholic theologians that just kept promoting Catholicism in their conversation with Jordan Peterson. Oh, by the way, you know, hey, I'm the one who just made a video saying, why don't you take your own advice and go to church? But I think this is something that we Christians have to think about, because if we don't take any of this seriously, why should anyone else?
Like, is this some like fading weird metaphor for cannibalism or something? I don't get it. Like, what the hell? I remember thinking that was just crazy.
The strangeness. And so hot time, you know, hey, keep it strange. You know, it's okay to admit the strangeness of it. It's totally okay.
As a kid. And I'm like, this to like, whoa, you know, I mean, even as a metaphor, it's kind of odd, you know,
it is.
So it's like, and should it be giving alcohol to minors? I was like,
we do grape juice. We're Baptist.
Okay.
I think it's unusual to even be thinking about that as a kid. Like as a kid, you just go through the motions. And right.
See, now if I recall correctly, that this is the guy who founded it over here and the other two are running it now, but he's saying, you're right. Let's talk a little bit more about this.
Later on that you think, wait a minute, what does this actually represent? What am I doing?
No, when I was a kid, I was like, is this actually blood and body? What? Yeah.
And, you know, if they had done more of this in the interview, what an interview this could have been.
I don't know if I want to eat somebody. And then I was like, what? This is, and I ended up, did it anyway. I'm like, this seems like, okay, man, I don't know if this is just pretty odd, you know? I remember thinking that even at age 5. So I was like, you know. And I was definitely like, you know, at Sunday school there, like, when they were telling me all the stories, and I was like asking questions and like.
He doesn't enunciate. It's a little hard for me to understand him sometimes.
And they really were upset that I was asking questions. And I was like,
and you know, here we're back with Tom Holland. They're really upset that I was asking questions. That makes me want to weep.
You know, Jesus like fed the crowd with like 5 loaves of bread and 3 fish, and I'm like, how big was the crowd? And like
the stories were there. They were doing their work. They were, Jesus was weird. He was wonderful and weird and strange. And so a child gets to know this and don't ask so many questions. It's like, no, those are really good questions. Where did the bread come from? Just leave the question open.
Where did the fish and bread come from? Did like from his cloak or something? Like, because I was like reading books.
Leave those questions open to do their work. I mean, what Tom Holland has to say about the Bible, you know, Jesus, you know, the greatest short story giver in all of human history. I mean, these stories are meant to sort of be here in Northern California, certain time of year, as after everything's dried out, you get these foxtails that are basically grass seeds, and they'll get into your jeans, they'll get into your socks, they'll get into, if you have a dog, they'll get into, you got to keep them because they sit in there and they just keep going in. And in some ways, that's what Jesus' stories, these stories in the Bibles are. They get in there deep, and they're still in Elon Musk. And maybe he's, you know, he's got life and he's got busy, and you know, his personal life is, you can catch some of those things, and I mean, there's all this stuff going, but way down deep inside, yeah, there's wisdom in those stories.
And I was like, is this like, did it materialize? Is it come out, I don't know, where did it come from, you know? Like, how did it, would you like take a bite of the bread, and would just the bread would just come back to being a full bread?
Yeah, you look away and it's kind of pops back out,
Rubbermaid. They left out the details.
Where did the universe come from?
See, and the other guy is, I'm so glad he's there. He's doing the right thing. These two are, you know.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying I know all the answers here. I'm just, you know, it's just and like Jesus was.
Now suddenly my status is a problem, and let's have a real conversation.
Obviously very pro-alcohol, you know, because one of his miracles was turning water into wine. Hmm. Yeah, and that was like.
Why was he pro alcohol? Why was he? I had a fight with that with an older member in my church. Not a fight, but you know, what did wine mean? How about Isaiah 5? How is wine glorious, and what is it for?
They were having a party. They ran out of wine.
Okay. See, and again, people say, well, what should you teach children? Teach children the stories. That story is like a foxtail. It's still deep inside Elon Musk, and it still festers and does its work. And at some point, that little foxtail, that seed is going to germinate. And the people around, the Christians around, should be skillfully figuring out, how can we help these seeds germinate?
And they're like, let's keep this bender going.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Who can solve this problem?
We're out of white cloths.
Friggin' store's closed. And Jesus is like, I gotcha. Okay. Water, now wine. And they're like, party on. You know?
And what does that have to say about, what is that? I actually preach on this. Maybe this will make it into my sermon Sunday. I'm preaching on the miracle at Cana. So it's in there. It's in there. And again, I'm not saying this is an interview. Anybody who watches me knows that I don't try to close the deal on everybody I meet the first time. Some people have that gift. I don't. I know that. But in the moment, what we do is we point out these things and we let them, and we at least try to signal to people that we are willing to take things seriously, even if it loses status in the now recession of modernity.
So, you know,
accurate.
Pro partying with alcohol is literally, it was one of the miracles.
Bible story time. With Elon Musk.
You are the.
Yeah. Again, the guy right here in this guy right here, his intuitions were right. I wish he. Yeah.
It's like, you're definitely, you're the savior. You kept the party going with lots of wine. That's great.
And that's what a savior does. He saves the party as well.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. All right. Appreciate you coming here and talking to us very much.
You're welcome.
Awesome. So, I'd seen a few other things in the interview that sparked me, but this caught my attention. And so I hope I'm being fair, because again, I like what the Babylon Bee is doing, but that was what struck me in this part of the interview. So I'm really interested to see what y'all have to say about this little commentary. So let me know in the comment section.